Good evening. This is I'm here at Social Club after a very successful evening with Drew Povey, our very good guest speaker for this evening. Drew was made one of the stars of the Channel 4 series Educating Greater Manchester, which many of you will remember. He was appointed head of that school at the age of tender age of 32, and I think today, Drew, you're only 40, aren't you? So you're
41.
41.
I've just edged over 41.
So
I'm on the Friday morning of my life. Yes, and the sumo guy would say.
Excellent. Well, you know, you've. We're here today just to talk about yourself. For those that don't know you, Drew, could you just let leaders and listeners know a little bit about just who you are and you know where they might have seen or heard of you before? Because you know, I knew you.
Yeah, well, first of all, it was a great evening tonight. It was great to meet everyone from Social Club, and I think leaders taking time out to get together to talk, to learn is absolutely fantastic. But a bit about me, I suppose, I describe myself tonight as a leadership geek. I love everything about leadership, but I'm an RE teacher by trade.
Yes. Are you religious?
Well, I don't really say whether I am or I'm not to the kids at school, but yeah, I do have beliefs. But I didn't get my tambourine out once tonight, did I? And we didn't do a chorus of Kumbaya at any point in the evening either. But yeah, I'm an RE teacher by trade.
Yeah.
But I've been a sports coach for longer than that.
Yes.
And I kind of got really interested in sports and leadership, but probably best known for leading an amazing school called Harrop Fold.
Yes.
And we were part of the Channel 4 documentary series Educating Greater Manchester.
Yes. And at a relatively young age, you took on that school that had a troubled history. School in a place called Little Holton, which is in Salford, but very near Bolton, where I'm actually from. And when you went there, Drew, what made you believe that you could make a difference there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was about understanding the school,
yeah,
where the school was placed,
yeah,
and if people in there had the appetite to turn it round.
Yeah.
And I think it did. I mean, I was already working at the school before I became head, so I went there as a senior member of staff, and I just very quickly fell in love with the kids and the community there.
So tell us a little bit about Little Holton. What's
yeah,
it like? Because
well,
I know it a bit, but you...
It is. I mean, it gets bad press, but I won't have a bad word said about Little Holton because it's a great place. The people, once they got behind the school and understood what we were about and where we were coming from, love the school.
Yeah.
It does have its challenges, like all areas have its challenges. I live in Warrington and it has its challenges there too, but really good people, loyal people, and I enjoyed every minute of being there. And when the job came up and was offered to me, you know, I said, you know, I'll give it a good go. But it's important to say I never aspired to be a head.
And so, you know, what was the fit between you and the place? Because I think a leader's got to fit a place. What is it about you and Little Holton and Harrop that really gelled, do you think?
I think it was, you know, throughout my own education, I wasn't the easiest student, and I think people would question...
Educating Warrington, were you?
Well, yeah, educated in... Sorry, I thought you said, did we do Educating Warrington? You certainly wouldn't have wanted to film that. it was a difficult time at school for me.
Yeah.
And I knew the power of a teacher believing in you. Mm. And when I went to Little Holton and to Harrop Fold specifically, I saw an area where I don't think people believed in the success that people could have, and that was something that I just thought was wrong. And I thought, well, we can do something, because these are young people, like any young people from any area, and they should have the same aspirations. And of course they did have the same aspirations, and when we work with them and we work with the incredible staff that work there and we worked alongside the community, we started to do something special. And you know, we were confident we could do that, but it would need an almighty effort. And of course, leadership is never about one person. It's about a team of people that want to go out there and do something amazing. And with that, I include the kids, and with that, I include the community as well.
And you call it Team Harrop, don't you?
That's absolutely. It was Team Harrop. And you know, when people say, you know, you did this great job at this school, I have to stop them dead in the tracks, because as I said tonight, you know, I'm average on a good day. Actually, what we're talking about here is a group of people coming together and creating positive and sustainable change, and that certainly happened during my time there at Little Holton, and it was a breathtaking, breakneck journey, but it was brilliant at the same time.
Yeah, and I think what I picked up, I read your book as well, which we'll talk about a bit more. Educating Drew, it's called, and it's a great read. Is that, you know, part of turning around an organisation, an education organisation that's not in the right place, seems to be part of the recipe for doing that. Seems to be about not just focusing on the school just itself, it's the total environment, the school's in, the community, the institutions, the wider aspects of the place. That seems to be really important to you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at the impact school has on a family, it's huge. You know, the parents are involved in the whole education process, the kids are, the staff are, the community is, you know, locally, because schools can be a big draw for people to come to the community or to decide to leave a community. So everybody's got, you know, a big stake in a school. And if you go back to the idea of social capital from years and years ago, you know, communities were much closer together than they are today. You know, you'd have your local police station that was manned, you'd go to the local greengrocers, people were more likely to go to church, and that was a part of the community. Yeah. You'd go to your local chip shop on a Friday night and you'd have chips, and people would go to a local pub. People would work locally too. That's all been stripped out now, and I think the one element that's been left is the school. Yes. And I think it's the cornerstone of the community, and it should be. And I think as leaders in schools, we've got a duty to make it be a big part of the community and actually have a whole lot of fun doing that. And of course, then you get the support from the community as you start to share some of the vision that you've got for what the school could be with people out there. They're going to put the shoulder to the wheel.
Yes, and then you can, when you watch the programs, you can see how that all works. But when you boil it down, Drew, what do you think makes some leaders really transformational? Well, one of my observations is that an awful lot of leaders don't leave any mark. You know, they go through and you don't really see that much difference that they've made on other people. What is it about the ones that do leave a mark that makes them different?
Yeah, I mean, to quote Steve Jobs, you know, we should be trying to leave a dent in the universe.
Yeah.
And we don't always do that, but I think very often we limit ourselves. You know, if you take that young person at the back of a classroom who's not sure whether they should put the hand up because they don't want to get it wrong, and that carries through with us. But if you watch 3 and 4 year olds, they will put the hand up and have a go. And it seems we get more cautious and more careful. Mm. I think the best leaders I've come across are the ones who are willing to have a go. They're willing to take some risks. They're willing to try things. They're also willing to fail, but they're willing to learn on that journey as well. And I would say one of the biggest traits that I would highlight is courage.
Yes.
I think we talk about courageous leadership, it rolls off the tongue, but do we really understand what it is and what it means? Now, I am, again, a geek on this kind of thing, and I went away and researched what courage was. And one of the most helpful things I found about it was from a guy called Brian Tracy, who's written lots of fantastic leadership books.
American guy.
He's brilliant. And he said there's two aspects to leadership. He said one aspect is taking the leap of faith.
Yeah.
And that traditionally is what we'd understand. And yes, to do transformation, you have to take a leap of faith. But I think the other side of that coin is you've got to be able to stay the course.
Yeah.
You know, when that initial buzz, the initial excitement has gone, and it's a wet Tuesday afternoon in February and it's a bit cold outside, you know, can you manage to stay the course? And the more I thought about this and the more I was checking into various places I'd work, I'd say I reckon courage is 20% leap of faith, maximum, and 80%. Being able to stay the course, you know, being able to
stamina,
keep going.
Resilience.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to have that Angela Duckworth grit stuff that she talks about, you know, that effort to be able to keep going. And I think that is a key aspect of a leader that will transform all the ones that won't.
Now, obviously, very few people have been subject to a TV reality show that you have. And television made you one of the best known educators in the country. Would you ever do it again?
That is a really good question. I think whenever you make any decision in life, I was talking about the companies the other day, or if I ran education, you go back to the why. You've got to understand why you're doing a TV show.
Yeah.
Now, it would be very hard for people to understand, and I'd understand that people will on social media say you just wanted to be on TV. That was never the case. I would only ever do TV again, to answer your question quickly, if it was the right reason to do it.
Yeah.
And it was the right reason for Harrop to do it. You know, Harrop's been a maligned school,
yeah.
and Little Halton is constantly...
Yeah,
you know, put out there in the press for the wrong reasons. Mm. And actual fact, I was passionate to say, right, I'm not having this anymore. Little Halton's great. These kids are fantastic. These staff are doing a great job. I want to shine a light on everything that's good about the school and this area, and we damn well should. And by the way, we should be raising more awareness about this debt. Now, that obviously...
That's the PFI debt attached to this school.
Well,
was it?
It wasn't the PFI debt. It was overspent by Salford Council and the Department for Education, which won't make me too popular. But they overspent because it was a School Improvement Partnership Board, but then they left the £3.2 million with the school.
Right.
And that was really difficult. And I do think people should have known not to do anything other than try and raise money to pay the debt off, because, you know, I understand that Salford Council and the DfE don't have enough money to pay it off. And when they spent that money in 2004, everyone spent a lot of money. So, but that was still unfair on the school, and the school needed some way of paying it off. But it was about celebrating everything, actually, that was right about the school, and that's why we were passionate to do it. If TV was offered again, and we have been offered TV work, I would think about it really carefully. When you are the head in that school, there is a great expectation on you, and most people would listen to you and watch you and go, you are loving every second of this. I would just say to people, there's a lot of pressure on being on TV, and then the media afterwards, it's very, very hard, and some people love it, you know. But it is a challenge, and it is very difficult. It's very time consuming, and I did find it really difficult, but I did it because I did it for the right reasons for the school. I didn't really particularly want to be on TV myself, which people who know me realise that, but you do it for the right reasons. So if the opportunity came up again, then, you know, I would go back to why you're doing it.
Yeah,
and if the why's big enough, as Simon Sinek says, if the why is big enough, the how and the what will definitely, you know,
all
go into place.
Yeah. Last question, Drew. Thank you. I suppose, it's really about of all the advice you impart to leaders, and you see leaders every day of your life now as a coach and mentor and keynote speaker. What's the one thing that you're told is the most powerful and helpful message that you bring to people? So when you get the feedback and you get the forms or the call afterwards, what have people tended to get from your input?
Well, I'll probably start off by saying I talk too much and talk too quickly. But no, in all seriousness, I would say the message we've talked about tonight is probably one of the biggest take homes. You know,
which is leadership by being visible.
It is, and I think the overlying message, though, from tonight will have been it's people that will make the difference.
Yeah.
So we can talk about most things in life and most leadership strategies, but it'll be people in a business that make it sink or sail.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be people in a business that make it do something amazing or not. And it goes back to, I suppose, Mrs. Firth in that reception classroom.
Yes.
She believed in me. She cared for me and she listened for me, and I would have done anything for her. And I did some, you know, really good things when I was at school for her. And I think in a leadership position, people say that take home, Drew, of people will be the difference maker. And that idea of, you know, ordinary people will do extraordinary things is really powerful.
Yes.
And I'd say that is most of the stuff that people will come onto social media and say, do you know, that was such an important reminder. You've told us how to do it with the leadership by wandering around and the language and the way you speak to people. But actually the big walk away from this for me has been, this is about people.
Mm.
And with the uncertain future we're facing, Craig, It will be about people into the future.
Yes.
And people are going to do some incredible things. They're going to do some very frustrating things too. Yeah. But they're going to do some amazing and incredible things. And I'd say that is the leadership dynamic we've got to focus down on if we're going to be successful in the future.
Just one little thing. You've got a new book coming out soon. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so the new book I'm really excited about, being a leadership geek, you'd expect me to be, and that is about a leadership model that I've crafted over the last 12 years of seeing leaders in a whole range of sectors. And there's 7 elements to this leadership model, and I've been very fortunate that some very clever and very talented people have put a psychometric together to go alongside the book. And my hope and wish is that, you know, leaders out there who might not be able to afford leadership seminars or courses can actually buy a book and read about what leadership is, what it looks like, how it works, and then, you know, for a bit more can go and do a psychometric and test themselves on it. And that's the exciting thing for me.
That's,
you know,
called The Leadership Factor.
The Leadership Factor, yeah. And that's
coming out when?
In the next 3 weeks.
Right,
so it should be out by the end of February, beginning of March. And it's been written by the absolutely brilliant Laura McInerney, who's a Guardian Education journalist.
Very good.
I think it's going to be so helpful to leaders. You don't write books for any other reason than to get a message out there. And I'm hoping this message goes out there and it hits and sticks with leaders and it helps them on their leadership journey.
And that'll be in, well, it'll be on Amazon, it'll be in the shops, it'll be in a lot of places, hopefully.
Hopefully it will. I hope it will.
Drew Pobby, thank you so much for the podcast. Thank you so much for coming to speak to Social Club. I think it's been a big audience tonight. A lot of great feedback on the way out from people. So thanks tremendously. Good luck with the book. Good luck with all of your work going forward, and thanks once again.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with you and the team.